A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast that asks the most important sporting question of all. I'm Joel.
I'm Sean.
Beg your pardon? What did I say?
You're not. Not
did your, I say I'm Sean?
You fucking you idiot. Sure did. I thought it was a bit, and then I looked up and he just.
I thought it was a bit too.
And then I looked up and he was just sitting there blissfully ignorant. No. He had the same vibe as like a cartoon character that had been hit in the head with a hammer.
Can I have another go?
No. Cut his microphone off. Cut his dick off. Cut his head off. Kill him.
Can I redeem myself?
I'm
That's
Sean.
Yep. I'm Tom. Can I?
Boys.
Yes.
Haggard's footy.
How good's footy, Joel? How good's the edge?
Tell you what, I love the edge, and Tom, I love the flop.
Hey, how good's holding the ball?
Hey, don't knock the ball under Draper if you want a free kick.
That's it. I've also got another question for both of you,
yep. Sean.
I know that you're lost to footy for a time being, but I've just got a quick question for both of you.
Yep.
How good's footy cards?
Whoa!
That's Tom? A pack for you, and that's a pack for you, Joel. I thought... The vibes might be a little mixed today. The piece book is closed. I thought we could open up some footy cards.
That's a great call. So Tom has just pulled out a packet of AFL Team Coach 2024 official game cards for me, Tom, for me, Sean, and Tom also got
it. Have you ever read the stats on the back?
Because
I have, what to get. So in every pack, there are 5 common cards, 2 silver cards, and 1 in 7 you get a gold card. Then there's a whole bunch of other categories.
Footy's cancelled again.
Who'd you get?
Taylor Walker.
Throw that one away.
No. Shiny one too. You ever been in here?
That's all right. No. Whoa, it came back. That's sad.
Sean, take us through your cards and then I'll go through mine.
Shiny Taylor Walker, shiny Dion Prestia. A Star Powers card that's a really fancy one of Jared Witts. Look at that.
Oh,
yeah, that's
that is
nice.
Very
that's nice.
Double Wits?
Whoa! Double Wits!
Yeah, I love those
Double
cards.
Wits.
They're beautiful.
Is that like a pop-out card? What's the
Yes,
what's
it is. Wow, and if you collect all of them, all, I believe, 72, it makes a giant aerial shot of the MCG.
What's really funny is Sean hasn't said the next card, but he's just thrown it to me. It's Jeremy Cameron.
Yep. Can't go to jail where you belong. Ruben Gimby. Rory Sloane. Dusty Martin. Callum Mills.
All right. Do you want to go next, Joel?
Got a gold Jaden Short.
Oof. Your dad would love that.
Recently injured. I've got a silver Josh Kelly. And I, too, got a star power card. And that's of, according to the card, the mighty Jack Steele.
Oh.
Wow. Oh.
That's a juicy looking
that's
card.
A good, that's a good card. That's
and now, Tom.
Card. Yeah.
I also got Tom Hawkins.
Oh, pop out.
Pop out. So the pop out cards, for anyone who doesn't know, they're styled on the 1966 football card.
Oh.
And if you collect all 72, it makes an aerial shot of the MCG.
Which is what the old Holy Scanlan. So the Scanlan footy cards back in the day that you got out of bubblegum,
yeah.
Scanlan, that if you collected all of them, they made a shot of that year's grand final.
So
the
I've,
year before's grand final.
Yeah. Then we've got Scott Pendlebury, cunt. Matt Crouch, cunt. Max King, no comment. Harris Andrews.
Oh, where's the bin?
And finally, Jake Lever, who looks heaps like Ben Russell in this photo.
That's very funny. I've got one for you, Joel. I'm going to throw this over to you once I reveal who it is. I've got the magical Langford double, baby.
Oh!
Kyle Langford, come on down.
There you go.
Well done. Beautiful
card. I've got a silver Nat Fife. Oh.
Okay, yeah.
I've got a very fancy looking card here. I've got a best and fairest Harris Andrews.
Whoa.
I'm going to give that one to you, Sean, and you can decide what you want to do with it.
That's a nice looking card.
That's a nice
Sean.
Looking card, though.
Sean, I got a beautiful card.
Jordan Dawson pop out one.
That's a wonderful card.
I got Brad Crouch, Tom DeConing. Oh, no! Jordan DeGoey!
More like DeGoey in the bin. He's done it!
That is the sound of me tearing that card in half. Fuck Tyler you, Walker Jordan.
Can't.
I've got Joey Danaher.
Oh, that one's staying.
And I've got Cam Zerha.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
You had a friend of the show.
I bag Zerha.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of this? Did Tom show you?
No, I haven't seen the photo.
I'm going to give you a 50-50 choice here. Does Joey have his tongue out or in this photo?
I reckon tongue out.
Tongue out.
Yep, yeah, beautiful.
Boys, how good are footy cards?
It's good. The destruction of two of them live on air is pretty magical.
Yep.
This weekend, footy had its ups and downs.
Yes.
We saw, if you follow us on Instagram, you would already be across this, but on Thursday night, Luke Beveridge saved his job.
He did.
Somehow, Bevo survived.
Did you tip Bulldogs?
No.
Did you tip Bulldogs?
No.
You are both fucking idiots.
Why?
What does Bevo do better than any other coach?
He doesn't do anything better than anyone. No, he's an idiot.
He does one thing better than every other coach.
What?
He can coach when the narrative is against him. All for the last 2 weeks, it's been Bevo's shit, the Bulldogs are shit, the Saints are in a better position. Bulldogs were always going to win this game.
The Bulldogs are in no man's land anyway. Like, whatever. It's a sugar hit win. Who cares? Who'd you beat? St. Kilda. They're shit.
Also, what the fuck happened to the Saints?
They just suck.
St. Kilda?
They suck, and they sucked last year and somehow made the finals.
Yeah.
It's everyone else's fault. The rest of the league is a disgrace. That's why there are no good teams.
So Western Bulldogs came out hard, very fucking hard.
Mm.
They kicked 7-1 to 1-1 straight in the first quarter, which is a great way to tell the opponent to fuck off. And I believe in that 7 goals... Four?
Six of them were Waitman and Norton.
Yeah.
I think and three then, and three.
Norton ended up kicking 6 straight for the game.
Yeah. I was not expecting St. Kilda to capitulate so easily, though. Like,
apparently Ross Lyon was weird before the game.
Yeah, I heard this. I was going to bring
cowardly.
This up. Yeah, very
also,
cowardly.
I also saw on Twitter.
Just while we're on this.
Oh, yeah.
You'll hate that. Well, you won't hate it. You won't care. But, Sean, I'm glad you heard about this. Because, he was sooking it up about how much we've had to travel in the last couple of days.
Yep.
And then he said, to be honest, going to this game, I'm pretty nervous. So yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That's disgusting from a coach.
Just be like, yeah, back's against the wall. Yeah, we've had a rough couple of weeks, but I'm excited to see how the boys hold up.
Yep.
Not like, well, I'm a bit. Oh, no, he didn't even say nervous. I think he said scared.
I don't know if he said scared, but there's it was something. It was something weak, I think. And his team played like it.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you put it out there publicly. That's the vibe the players pick up on, and they deliver what you expect.
I also saw on Twitter Saints fans talking about how before the game they also got like an update from the president or the CEO that was really like, yes, you know, regardless of what happens this year, we're just backing in the system and the process. Like, they've been playing well and only just losing. That feels like an email that you send, like that Hawthorn or West Coast or North Melbourne
West
or
Coast
Richmond.
Does not know to be sending those emails anymore.
No, but you know what I mean. Like that's a team. That's an email that Richmond send out. New coach, new system, new players. We're rebuilding. Not an email that St. Kilda send out.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you foresee this St. Kilda group winning a premiership?
No. Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Especially not with the coach.
Ross Lyon's never going to be a premiership coach.
He's a bad coach.
I wouldn't say he's a bad coach, but like St. Kilda is just a middle of the road list as a team. Like, they've overinflated themselves for some reason last year. I don't know how they made finals last year. It's sickening, really. They're not a good team.
Yeah. Their goal review got them into finals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Also, Brodie Dale, 160 fantasy points.
Who?
Bailey Dale.
Bailey Dale. Fuck. I was.
There are so many Baileys on that team. That's their thing, is they have like eight Baileys, man.
Bailey Dale, sorry. Sorry, yeah. Bailey.
So Bailey started as the sub last week.
It's all right that Joel forgot his name because Bevo fucking forgot that he existed last week.
Yeah, he signed a 5-year contract and then couldn't get a game.
He's their best user of the football, and played him as a sub.
He had 39 touches, took 15 marks, and kicked a goal for a whopping fantasy score of 160.
Yeah, he was unreal.
Treloar also had a massive game, 31 touches. McRae, 30 touches, kicked a goal. English, 25 hitouts, kicked 1-2. Bont kicked 3 goals. It was fucking party time for the Dogs.
Dogs go back-to-back. Is that 2 wins in 2 weeks?
For the Dogs?
Yeah.
Didn't they lose last week?
Isn't
that why he's under pressure?
Yes, because the narrative wouldn't be. Right. What are you?
Yeah, sorry.
And
what the fuck are you talking
about? Don't you remember who beat them?
Yeah, that's right. They got edged.
Speaking of edged,
how is he still alive?
How are you still alive?
Me?
Yeah.
Luck. Well, no, he's still alive because his team's fucking 6-0 out of nowhere again.
I'm Sean. You know the literary trope, the naive idiot that just can't be killed because they're so dumb?
Yeah, you're the literary trope, the dumb cunt. Who I'm going to kill.
Can't believe I forgot my own name at the start of this week.
Yeah, you said Sean confidently.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, I was looking at you because I'm worried about you, bud.
I guess this goes without saying, but Sean is sitting with the Searching for the Snow Leopard book in front of him. And at points during this episode,
I wish I bought more footy cards because you put it away to look at the footy cards.
And at the start of this week's episode, it is worth noting that after he introduced himself, he pushed the microphone away and it was closer to my mouth than his. So any bouts of silence from Sean, you know what's going on.
Edge.
Next game, Friday night. Fuck you, Adelaide. Tex would have got the free kick if he wasn't a racist cunt.
Well, the other thing too
is if it was a free kick.
The AFL came out and said, yeah, it was.
The AFL also came out and said,
from the angle the umpire was on, I understand why it wasn't.
And they said it's a grey area.
Yeah, but it's a free kick.
Nah, it's a grey area. Put the whistle away.
Grey area.
Grey area.
Grey area. Yeah.
You know
gray
what?
Area.
Boys. Grey area.
Also,
there's two
in the last minute, Adelaide tried to milk so many frees that weren't there.
Taylor Walker threw his head back so much that I'm surprised he didn't get reported.
So did Darcy Fogarty.
When he got tackled by a ghost, you mean? That tackle. Oh my God, a ghost is trying to choke me.
But also, I feel like with 2 or 3 minutes to go, Essendon had one of the Adelaide guys done cold inside 50 for holding the ball, like at about the 50,
but
directly in front. So, you know.
I also think
that didn't get paid.
I also think that the Draper one not getting paid was an apology for pinging Langford with the fastest holding the ball I've ever seen in the first quarter that got Adelaide like the momentum again. I think they kicked a goal from it directly. Yeah. I think he had all of half a second to think about picking the ball up and then he got tackled immediately. Yeah.
This game was a traditional Essendon experience for me, but with a happy ending where often it's a sad ending where we started really well.
I got confused. So the team I was thinking about before was Essendon. You've now won 2 in a row after being inconsistent so far.
Correct.
Yeah. All right, cool. Apologies.
Essendon are now 4-2, which is fucked. And we'll get to why that's fucked in a second. But
I think we know why it's fucked.
It's fucked because there's some cunts on the radio and on TV that need to shut the fuck up. So the game starts. Essendon are absolutely fucking dominating Adelaide. But for the first time this season, they're spraying everything. It was one. We kicked the first goal, and then I think they kicked a goal. It was like 1-4 to 1 goal, but a lot of the misses by us were gettable. So we could have we could have gone into quarter time like 25 points up. But we didn't. In fact, we went into quarter time at 2 points up.
At this point, did you think it was over?
No, I thought it was over.
Crover, even.
No, over for Essendon, as in you'd wasted your chances. That was it.
I didn't think it was over, but the thought was crossing my mind at this point. But then we kick a goal pretty much straight away the moment the second quarter starts. Yep. I'm like, this is all right. This is fine. And then we kick a couple of points again, for fuck's sake, Essendon. Then we kick 2 goals in a row, and I'm like, whew, we could be on here. Then Adelaide kicked 3 in a row, and I'm like, okay, now it's over. Even though Essendon's still in front at this point, I'm like, we have fucked this. They're on a run. Adelaide are like a confidence team, and the 3 goals they kicked in a row were all from like cheeky cunt shit.
Yep.
Which Adelaide are like, they thrive on that much like Essendon do. So I was like, they got the confidence now. We're so fucked. And then my suspicions were confirmed when in the third quarter, they kicked another five in a row, I believe, and got quite a bit up, which made me sick.
Yeah, because now you're up.
No. Now they're up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also ate an entire pizza whilst watching this game, which probably didn't sit well in my stomach. Too much food for such a stressful
situation.
I'd love
to eat an entire pizza right now.
Mm. Eating an entire pizza is a good experience.
I did that for my game on the weekend. Felt bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good when it's good, but it's bad when it's bad.
I ate crispy fish chicken fried rice from the Malaysian shop around the corner, and it was tasty.
During your game or just
during the game? During the game. That was my snack of choice.
People are wondering why there's a lot of food talking. How good's footy? It is currently 8:11 p.m. in Melbourne while we're recording this, and none of us have had dinner.
Yeah, it's Tom's fault.
It is Tom's fault.
Why is it my fault?
Shut up, Tom. Anyway, Essendon kicked the next couple of goals. And it's on. Like, all of a sudden, Harry Jones, who people have doubted for so long.
Score assists over here. That's my job.
Harry Jones fucking turns it on. He causes a turnover that results in a goal. Score assists the next goal. And then all of a sudden, Essendon's kick three in a row. And we're back. And the last quarter's starting. And both the end of the second quarter and the end of the third quarter felt like, you know, like in the last like couple of minutes of a game, that's always like this manic energy if it's close. For some reason, the second and third quarter had this in that had that in this game, which was very stressful.
Is it the edge?
I think it might be the edge.
I think the edge has to play at that manacle level.
Yeah, it's more aggressive because Essendon have done this before. Our 2019 team was very like chaotic and like ground balls and moving the ball as fast as possible and handballing 650 times.
You have to win a final this year. The edge needs to be legitimized. It can't just be forgotten in Essendon history.
Sean, records are made to be broken, mate.
Yeah. It's time.
Anyway, we roll into the last quarter.
Get Essendon done.
Roll into the last quarter. Adelaide hit the lead again, and I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. But then Essendon kicked the next two. We hit the lead. And then with 8 minutes to go, Essendon decide, what if we try and lock down? We're a goal up. What if we lock down?
When it started happening, I don't know who was in the commentary, but one of them immediately went, oh, they can't be doing this. It's too early.
It was...
was it like Burgoyne or one
of... No, it was...
Richo?
Wasn't it... I've blanked on his
Daisy
name.
Daisy Thomas.
No.
Hodgie?
Yeah. Wasn't it Hodge?
I think so.
Might have been Hodgie. I thought Hodgie was doing the Saturday night game.
He gets around. He does a bit of everything.
Yeah, I feel like
whoever
it was
Hodge. He was just like... Oh,
he's like... They were like, oh, a bit early for this. But
way
then,
too early for this.
It was all right because Essendon, I think with about 3 or 4 minutes to go, pushed forward and it was like, oh no, they are actually still trying to score. They're just being very defensive. Anyway, with 1 second to go, ball hits the deck. Gets like 2 minutes left and it doesn't leave Adelaide's forward 50. There's like a ground ball.
The only time it does leave Adelaide's forward 50 is when Nick Martin gets the ball and instead of kicking it forward goes, I'm going to go towards the boundary.
Yeah.
Come straight back.
Really good call, Nick.
Also kicked a big goal, so
yeah,
you're okay, Nick.
But yeah, so with 1 second to go, Draper doesn't dive on the ball, falls on the ball.
Falls on the ground.
Yeah, falls on the ground. The ball happens to also be there.
The ball is near him. Walker goes to tackle him, who also falls on him. Not a legitimate tackle. It was also an argument that I
Lee Matthews says in the back.
Whoa!
Yeah. Lethal's a maniac and we shouldn't listen to him.
No, we should.
But there's an angle that makes it look like the ball got punched under him by Walker.
Which is where the umpire is standing.
Yep.
That's the key part of this. Also, it's really funny that Adelaide got robbed again because, I will say this game was almost unwatchable.
Why, Tom?
Because there were so many
crypto
score fucking reviews. Every fucking Adelaide game, they review everything because they pissed their pants about just missing finals. Kick more fucking goals in that game and you would have won. But you didn't.
Win any other game during the year.
Yeah. Win more games. Don't be shit.
Was last year the year
Go to another mine camp, cunts.
Did Tex miss out on 6 weeks last week?
No.
As last year, I mean?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, there's that.
Yeah, if he had played those 6 games, he might have been a better player and kicked more goals.
There you go.
Yeah. I think if he wasn't so busy thinking racist thoughts, he would have been able to think more about football.
Yep.
But yeah, it was so frustrating because I watched a bunch of other games. There was nowhere near the number of score reviews in those games than there was. Like at the Port Collingwood game, Sean, I reckon there was maybe one, and it was very late in the day. There was one.
Okay.
And it was like last quarter.
Yeah.
Harris Andrews, sorry, I picked up my footy cards again. Harris Andrews' average fantasy score in 2023 was 66.6.
Yeah.
Satan.
That's pretty powerful.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
He should lean into that. Anyway.
Get horns.
Essendon won, and we're 4-2 now, and the media is like, this is a direct quote from after the game. I think that Brad Scott has sold the fan base a lie, and I think that he's sold the media a lie. And to quote them, he was like, I think they've sold us a lemon here because Brad Scott's saying it's an eight-year plan. And the media, then they were like, I think it's actually an eight-week plan. And Essendon are on track for finals, absolutely. And how I was like, what the fuck? We haven't beaten anyone. Like, who have we beaten?
Bulldogs are in the top eight, mate.
Bulldogs, shit team.
They're in the top eight.
Yep.
God, that's disgusting.
So is Essendon. Bulldogs, shit team. St Kilda, shit team. Hawthorn, shit team.
Adelaide,
shit team.
Here's the thing, Joel. Every team is shit, so you can only beat shit teams.
Well, we're playing, fucking playing Collingwood.
Every team is shit.
Yeah. On Thursday.
Well, they're a shit team.
Yeah, well, they weren't shit on Saturday.
Yeah, they were.
Were they?
They were. Mm. Every team is shit.
They're not back.
They're not back.
No, they're not back.
Well,
you back when you play despicable football for like the first 40 minutes of that game?
I'm interested to see what happens when they come into Essendon who, I mean, like, look, there's two Essendons still this year. We could get the Port Adelaide Essendon, in which case we'll lose by 150 points.
Yeah,
and the Pies fans will be jacking their dicks off.
The Edge has now had 2 weeks in a row where it's tasted blood. I think it's getting thirsty.
I think every team is Jekyll and Hyde.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally every team.
Every team is Russell Crowe in The Mummy.
Yep, I'll pay that.
Trying their best.
Yep.
Sometimes they're shit. But
yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, mate.
Good film.
Great film.
You were at this game.
Good film.
Yes, you're next
with,
game.
With Jacob.
Yes, yeah, so I'm with my brother and
snake
my sister-in-law.
Has a jacket with a snake on it.
Whoa!
Which he wore over the top of his Port Adelaide coach's jacket like these ones.
Double jacket.
Close to the most powerful thing I've ever seen in the MCG.
Was it good to see the snake man up close and personal again?
Oh, it was beautiful. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
He was very stressed because they got stuck in traffic on the way there.
Yeah, he missed the first two goals of the game.
Which were Port Adelaide goals,
I believe. Yeah, Butters from 50 on the run.
Yep.
But he did get to see Jason Horny Francis make us all Horny Francis. Jason Horn Francis kicked that goal, and what did we do, Sean?
There was a group stand.
We stood.
Whoa!
Yeah. We were so outnumbered.
Yeah.
Sean, did you ever think you'd stand for a Port Adelaide goal?
Great question.
But Sean.
But I realised when I got to the game, because I was flat, very flat all week when I found out that Charlie Big Dick Dixon was not going to play. Because I wanted to see that dick in the flesh.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
Yeah. Sean, I reckon that you were like, I never thought I'd be standing side by side with a Port Adelaide supporter. And then Jacob turned to you and said, what about with a friend?
Powerful. But then I realized getting to watch Horny Francis.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he
Horny Francisco.
Horny Francisco was on.
He has moments in games where he gets out of a stoppage and he just says, fuck you, to his teammates, his opponents, the ground, the sky, the ball, the air around him.
Yeah.
Burns goes, everyone.
Fuck you.
And his coach.
And his coach.
who we were pretty close to.
Yeah.
I was looking at a shiny head all day. It rattled me, actually. I didn't expect it. We were going to be sitting that close.
Not enough big ideas rattling around in that big head, though,
What's he doing?
Half.
Doesn't even wear a headset. He's not even communicating. He's not coaching. He's slapping asses as the players come off the field and saying, proud of you, son. When they fuck up and do shit.
Here's the thing, Sean. There was one moment where it almost paid off.
Mm.
Because early, like, Porter kicked the first two goals of the last quarter and were trying to mount a comeback against all odds. And just, they were doing an interchange. One guy came off like he'd been shot in the leg. They were doing an interchange, and just before Darcy Bird-Jones ran back on, Ken grabbed him, pulled him over, and they did a really intense close talk, and then he pushed him onto the ground. If Willie Rioli passes that ball, Bird-Jones kicks the goal, and maybe that's the fire starter.
Maybe, but it didn't happen, and Port suck, and Collingwood suck a little
less. That second goal that Port Adelaide kicked in the last quarter was over halfway through it, and they were 40 points down.
Yeah.
I don't think a comeback was that.
No, if Willy Reilly kicks that goal, it was under three goals. It was three goals, I think. Three goal margin.
I think they got it to 26.
Yeah, so from the worm that I can see.
Because your big thing at the game was when the timer hits 20 minutes into the last quarter, they need to be within three goals, and they never were.
I could have sworn they got close.
No, you are incorrect, but that's okay, Tom. That's the magic of the MCJ.
And that's the magic of Tom's brain.
Yeah.
Whatever is the juiciest thing is the thing that happened.
Yeah, man. I love juice, boys.
You didn't even stand for that Horn Francis goal.
Yes, I fucking did. Did he? You lying fuck.
That's true, he did.
So when Sean lies, it's a lying fuck move. But when you lie, it's a...
Here's the thing. I don't lie maliciously. I lie with whimsy.
Can't. He does. Yeah, he does. He's true. It's true. Every lie that he says, he just wants to believe.
Yeah.
I'm the essence of Loch Ness. I just want to believe so bad.
You got to stop making huge, bold, sweeping claims about yourself.
Shut up. That's for other people to do. Here's a big one. You're a fucking cunt.
Yeah? You can take that one.
I don't think I will. I dispute that.
That's why we lie.
But yeah, sorry to Jacob and fuck you to every Collingwood supporter. If Essendon beats, I said this to Jacob actually, if Essendon beat Collingwood on Anzac Day, which sadly I'm not confident, but I'm never confident.
Joel,
ask
me who I've tipped on Anzac
Ross
Day.
Ross Lyon right now.
Yeah.
Sean.
You've Ross the boss.
I'm not confident and I'm never confident, but I'm going.
Yeah.
And I will be wearing this jacket and I will be beating the shit out of Pies
fans. Can you
make
a sign that just says Edge?
Oh,
bit of face paint.
I might take a knife in and just start cutting people.
Mm.
MCG, if you're listening, that was a joke. You can check and pat me down if you want.
They will. I'll put you through the scanners.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll go through the scanner six times if you want.
Face paint Edge onto your cheeks.
Oh!
And onto your face.
Face paint Edge onto your chest so you can rip the shirt open when they win.
That would be huge.
The diggers would love that, I reckon. Mm. That's what the Anzacs died for you to get Edge tattooed on your chest.
If Essendon beat Collingwood this week, finals talk is absolutely on.
Yep.
And I don't want to hear it, but I want to win so bad.
Yep.
But 5-2 would be juicy, especially if we fucking beat Collingwood.
5-2 is very nice.
It is nice. But, I mean, as an Essendon fan, you'll continue to worry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We could be...
Because this often happens with them.
We could be 10. It's usually the reverse.
Is it?
Yes.
Don't you normally run out of steam?
No, usually.
Get a lot of injuries?
Start bad.
Start bad in the middle.
Get horny in the middle. Give everyone hope and then fizzle.
Yeah, we usually fuck up the last like 3 weeks, which I fear.
So maybe mid-season fizzle. Start strong, end strong.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's like a good sandwich. Final day.
If we win one fight, like.
Yeah, okay.
I know that.
Sorry, you trying to say that the sandwich fizzles in the middle? Start strong. Like, first bite's good, last bite, wonderful.
Sean, I said it, and I was like, I don't know if that's what I meant.
There's going to be a lot of food talk. Like I said, we're all hungry.
Cut his microphone.
Cut my head off.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Essendon win an elimination final and then lose the semifinal by 450 points.
You'll still get a tattoo.
I will still be so happy.
Yeah, okay.
The record will be broken.
Even if it's broken again the next week by the most amount of points the team's ever lost by in a final. I'll take it.
We're on different paths.
I just need a final.
Yeah.
But, Sean.
You're going to that mountain over there, and I'm trying to go to that one over there.
Yeah. But, Sean, unfortunately, both of our mountains have been very – it's been a long trek, and I'm not sure that we're going to be seeing the tip anytime soon.
Yeah. You're not on a mountain at all.
No, I'm under.
You're just floating in the ocean.
I'm underwater.
Yeah.
Just having a good time.
Yeah.
Next game. Speaking of good times, if you barrack for Carlton –
if you're Tracy, who we saw on Saturday at the Collingwood Port game too. She goes to a lot of footy.
She goes to a shitload of footy.
And then she also goes out after the footy. And sometimes she celebrates too hard and comes home at 3 a.m. And then messages us at 9 a.m. being like, I got home at 3 a.m. And then I look at the clock and go, that was 6 hours ago.
How are you alive?
You probably still drunk, Tracy. Go back to sleep.
Always drunk, possibly.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Barracks for Carlton?
Yeah, you got to be.
That's what Barrack for Carlton is.
Yeah.
You know, it's six beers in.
Yeah.
All the time.
I think Essendon's
when you're born,
like
the doctor shakes your little hand and gives you a six pack.
Yeah. I think Essendon's probably 2 years away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we haven't won a final by 2027,
yeah,
okay. I think I have to become an alcoholic just to deal with life.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Carlton won.
Carlton won, and Walsh big is comeback. Back. Yes. Walsh is back. Cripps is back. De Koning had a fucking enormous game, kicked 3 goals.
Well, this is a huge, because like, obviously the Giants are missing Taylor and Canelio, but the Carlton are missing, Chera was a laid out, Saad Hammy, McGovern Hammy, they lost Williams during the game.
They're very well coached.
They've got a great coach.
It's just they've copped some bloody injuries, some setbacks.
They...
Some teams, like I, Brisbane for example.
Yep.
Brisbane cop a few injuries, it'll just fall apart. Whereas, you know, for Carlton to have been without Wiedering for that big chunk at the start.
Yep. And no Doherty too.
Doherty and just all the shit they're going with right now. Like, it's crazy. It's actually crazy. Good coach.
Do you know what I keep forgetting about? Peter Wright's coming back this week. Oh, and I forgot to say Draper was fucking horseshit and we should probably drop him, but because it's Anzac Day and he goes big in big moments, he mightn't get dropped. But Two Rocks is not working currently. Draper seems a little bit out of form and Goldstein looks very in form.
Give Goldie a rest this week.
Goldie a rest on Anzac Day.
Yeah, yep. Draper's the man.
But we've killed Collingwood with Two Rocks before, so I don't know if they're going to be thinking that. But Peter Wright can also rock. I don't know what to do. Speaking of Carlton and the players have got that are humming, in the Coleman race at the moment, they have 2 players in the top 5.
Yep. Mackay and Kerno.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Kerno is 2nd by 1 goal.
So they should be, though.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah. They're the 2 best.
They're 2 Coleman medalists. Yeah. Like.
They're the last 2 years, aren't they? Wasn't it? Kerno won 2 in a row and Mackay won the year before that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, and then...
Mackay 2021, Kerno 22-23.
Yeah. Why not?
Sounds good.
Kerno will probably take the lead next week because the player that's sitting on top is 1 goal ahead of him and is missing 1 week.
Oh, Jesse Hogan.
Punching a guy in the head.
Yeah. They didn't challenge that one.
They didn't?
They are challenging Toby's. I think they're hoping to do the Charlie Cameron goodbye.
Good luck to him.
Yeah. I think, well, Green's an idiot. He went off the ground. Like, that's this is the Maynard rule.
What happened to the, I don't know who he bumped. Who did he bump?
Boyd.
No one was concussed.
No concussion. Didn't go off the ground.
So that's why it was only 1 week.
Played out the game.
That's why it was only 1 week.
Well, they might argue the same thing as Charlie. Because I know the media went with the Charlie good behaviour clause.
No.
But Brisbane argued that if you take into account that the player got straight up, player wasn't concussed, player didn't miss any game time.
Yeah,
that's also, actually low impact.
And then also player had an arm free, which is the way they got someone off the year before.
Yeah.
Similar thing. Whereas I think Green's fucked. I think he's going to get a week regardless.
He probably should.
Yeah. The Coleman race is very funny because like Bailey Fritch is 5th. Yeah, when the fuck did he kick goals?
I don't know. He kicks like 2 or 3 every week, even when they lose.
He bobs up and kicks 5 from time to time.
Yeah, well.
He's cheeky.
I think one of my
terrible head.
One of my favorite players that doesn't play for Essendon is currently sitting at 3rd.
Hey, we got an email about Bailey, actually.
Yeah, we'll read that out at the end when we get to the emails. I saw that as well. Yeah. Giants looked bad this week, but they are missing a lot of players.
But they looked good to start with, and then they just got overrun.
Yeah, it's a bad team.
I think they
Sean, are there any good teams in the NFL?
There aren't any good teams.
Tom, they looked good in the 2nd quarter, and then they looked fine in the last quarter. They didn't look good in the other quarters. Oh, they decent-ish in the 1st, I guess. But that 3rd quarter was an abomination.
SDN will be popping off this week with Carlton doing well.
Don't know. I didn't really pay much attention to it today.
Yeah.
As you do when your team sucks. Shit. Yeah.
Well, next game. Geelong beat the Brisbane Lions, and it was the Brisbane Lions' lowest score since 2018, I believe.
And the first game of the How Good's Footy Cup for season 2024.
Yes, and Brisbane are now 0-3 at the Gabba.
Yep. And Geelong are 6-0.
Yeah.
Which I...
Everyone should have listened to Kados and put some Zork on your fork.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely put some Zork on your fork.
It might be a bit late now, but...
Watching this game, and you feel free to comment if you want, Sean, but watching this game with the weather... Push his microphone away further. With the weather the way it was, like it was diabolical. They cut to Alistair Lynch at one point, and he's like, they're like, how heavy is Lynch? And he goes, oh, you know, it's not too bad, because I was watching it on Fox.
Yeah.
And then they showed like a shot of the ground, and it was fucking torrential. And Lynch I'd love to know what Lynch would be great to give you bad news.
What?
Because Elsa Lynch's metric of how bad something is like, he's like, yeah, it's not too bad. And then you knew it was fucked. Cause at one point he goes, yeah, it's starting to get a bit heavier down here actually. It's like, okay, we're in a lot of trouble if Lynch is saying it's heavy, but these game wet weather games like this come down to, like, they're even saying it in the commentary. I think Hodgie said it a couple of times. It's not necessarily about who plays better. It's about who makes the less mistakes because of the conditions. But I think there's always like one or two players that just are handling the ball better in the conditions. I think for Brisbane, it was Dane Zorko. I thought he was the only thing that like kept them in it for large periods. I think he kicked two goals, didn't he?
He kicked two out of the four goals of Brisbane.
And then for Geelong, the player who was handling the conditions the best for us was Tyson Stengel, who played some sort of ridiculous game. He only kicked two goals, but he was fucking everywhere in dangerous spots. He was hitting packs. He was passing the ball off. If Ollie Henry could take a mark, he would have possibly had about five or six more shots on goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, a win I was not expecting.
Yeah, last week he famously said Brisbane are going to win.
Yeah, I had a feeling we would go up there and this would be a very tough assignment.
Have a look at this photo.
Okay.
I haven't looked at this one before. Look at that.
What is it, Tom?
Jesus. Do you want me to read the caption?
Yes, please.
Shrouded in swirling snow, she magically appears, climbing effortlessly across the high ridge. Her presence is felt even when not seen. The humans who have gone in search of her know they are not alone. She is there, watching, guarding. Unseen in her frozen realm of rock and snow.
I think that may actually be the she in that inner piece.
That's a beautiful photo.
That's an incredible. She's in the mist up there. You can just see that little outline. That's a snow leopard.
That's beautiful.
That is magic.
You might have to get a photo of that for the Instagram account. Hagrid's Footy Pod.
That's phenomenal stuff. Oh,
well. I'm on it.
Brisbane kicked 4-13 to Geelong's 9-9. So.
Yes.
Also, shout out to Graham Myers, who had a fucking enormous.
He had a huge fucking
second
game.
And fourth quarter.
Yeah, went ballistic. And the other player that I got to give a shout out. So obviously, Big O went down with concussion. Tommy Stewart went down with concussion. Zach Guthrie then was like, "You need another Tom Stewart. I kind of look like him. No worries. Have a look at his. Just go to the stats, Joel, and I have a look at Zach Guthrie's meters gained.
Yep. Zach Guthrie had 737 meters gained.
Just some psycho shit. He really stepped up, I think, and filled that gap. I was worried that Stewart would go off. Brisbane had been threatening but hadn't quite put us away. And then the game just turned from the pressure of like, and again, like, I don't think Hipwood or Danaher had a shot. Jezza and Hawkins didn't have a shot. It was all small pressure stuff. It's, as a Geelong fan, it wasn't what I was expecting, but I was very proud of the win, and I'm sorry that it had to come at such a cost.
Were you expecting to be 6-0 at the start of the season?
Joel?
No.
I was optimistic, as I always am, but it was a bit of an unknown. How are we going to go? We got players back. Were they fit, not injured? All right, let's see what's going to happen here. There's some young talent coming through. But, like, Tanner Bruin has exceeded all of my expectations, and Toby Conway played in the ruck on the weekend. Like, that's the thing I think is really pleasing for me as a supporter is it's not Dangerfield and Hawkins and this and this or bust.
Okay.
There's another little bit of a groundswell, which is quite nice to see. Stengel, Parfitt, Bruin.
You haven't beaten any of the – well, prior to this week, you hadn't beaten anyone that is like a contender.
No, we beat the Bulldogs like a couple of weeks ago who were in the eight.
You've beaten the same teams as Essendon, basically.
Basically,
you've beaten Hawthorn, you've beaten St Kilda, you've beaten Western Bulldogs.
Brisbane,
which is big.
Adelaide,
which we also beat.
North Melbourne.
Yeah.
So these 4 weeks, though, that started with Brisbane and ends in Port Adelaide.
Yeah, you got Carlton at the MCG.
Carlton and Melbourne back-to-back at the G.
Yeah, actually, speaking of next week and Geelong, and Sean, you might be interested in this. I know you're having a big read and searching for inner peace, but
is there anything you want to add at all, Sean?
Thomas.
Yes.
We decided not to watch this game together.
Smart.
Can I tell you the quote? Say the quote?
You may.
So I said, what do you reckon, Sean? We were sort of umming and ahhing about it. And you said, a man's quest for inner peace cannot come at the expense of another.
That's good.
I would have been very mean to Tom.
Yeah.
Very rude, very angry.
You got annoyed in the group chat and then immediately apologized.
That sounds about right.
Jacob was baffled by my the fact that you didn't come back with anything once. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's my friend. He's going through it, and I know it's not at me. He's not mad at me. He's mad at a man named Chris Fagan, a little bit at me.
I hate Geelong.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I just think you've had so much.
Mm.
Share the wealth.
The
that win meant nothing to them. I watched them sing the club song in the rooms.
No happiness. After. They don't care.
They didn't give a shit. They don't fucking care. It means nothing to them. 6-0. Who cares? They could have been 5-1. Now we're 2-4, and it's over. We're dead.
Sean,
we got the Giants next week. Hopefully we win. What if we lose?
Sean, 2-5. Good week to get the Giants.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's just
no Green, no Hogan, no Cobbs.
After
no
that,
Taylor.
Then we play Gold Coast. After that, Adelaide in Adelaide. It never ends. It's a tough draw.
When every team sucks and you finish higher on the ladder, you're going to get. Do you hear the Collingwood supporters having a whinge about how hard their draw has been?
Oh, they can.
Excuse me. You won the grand final. Your draw is going to be hard. That's the way it fucking works.
Brisbane were in the grand final, so their draw is hard too. It's just. It sucks. And it's. I don't know. I didn't listen, Tom. I zoned out because I was looking at snow leopards.
That's okay, mate.
One of the things in this book, one of the chapter titles is, by saving the snow leopard, we are saving ourselves. And that's some quiet power in that.
There is.
I don't know if you probably talked about the wet weather aspect of it and the fact that Geelong played wet weather football and Brisbane decided to not change the way they play.
It was pretty baffling.
Fucking idiotic. But then you go into half time and you think your coach is going to give everyone a rev up and say, no, we need to realign how we're playing. Let's go and fix it. And then they don't change it. And 3/4 time, another chance for him to address the players and maybe change things. They don't change it.
Sean.
They just keep trying the same shit again. And Fagan had like a rare win last week when they did that move on Petrarca. And everyone was like, whoa, that was a coaching master move. I guarantee you he did not come up with that. Someone else did.
So
he's a terrible match day coach.
He's
everybody's friend. Yep. He's good with the players.
Yep.
Everyone they all love playing for him, but there's no accountability. There's no one who deserves to get dropped ever really gets dropped with him.
Yep.
He has so much faith in his players and faith in this stupid fucking game plan that he and the shit coaches come up with. And frankly, I'm sick of it. To quote Ryan in the Lions group chat, he often says, Chris Fagan's taken this group as far as he can. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. Do you know who you should go after?
They're not going to – this is the thing, Tom. They're not going to go after anybody. They're a poor club. They love Fagan. They've already extended him. Brisbane could fucking be terrible this year. They could do what the Swans did last year and completely like just – wait, did the Swans miss
Geelong.
The finals, didn't
Geelong.
They?
Geelong missed the finals.
Swans made the finals?
I think
they rallied, did they? Like, okay, the Swans.
Oh, no, maybe they just
No, maybe they did. I can't remember. Anyway, so like Brisbane could have a shit year, miss finals, and the club will just be like, oh, that was a blip. We'll bounce back next year. And it's like, yeah, maybe they will, but like, what's the end goal here? We're trying to win a premiership because there's no accountability. I see people on Twitter being like, oh, it's good to see Jared Berry's back in form because he had 29 touches. The man's a brain dead monkey. 29 touches, nearly 10 of them were turnovers. Nearly half of that were out on the full. If we're putting the ball in that fucking idiot's hands 30 times in a game, we're going nowhere. So angry with the team. There's only a few players that are like actually impressing me at the moment. It's just a shit show. They're Russell Crowe in The Mummy. Every week, I don't know which Brisbane's going to turn up. Last week, they looked unbeatable against Melbourne. And then they're back at the Gabba, and they can't fucking win on their home deck. It's stupidity. It's just shit coaching. Go back up to the coach's box, you fucking idiot.
Kane Corns.
Have a fresh idea. AFL need to package him up and send him to Tasmania and take all his teacher coaches with him. Bring someone with a fucking game plan who's going to actually challenge the players. I'm sick of it. Footy has broken my heart. I've had a gutful of it. I'm nearly done with footy.
You are wearing your jumper that is the peak.
It's the peak. We're all in on finals 2023. That's Brisbane's Everest. Well done last year. Hey, well done, Brisbane.
That's the most sarcastic clap I've ever heard in my life.
I'm fed up with it. I'm so sick of footy. I barely want to watch it at the moment.
Should Fagan put on a headset on the coach's box?
He should just go and fuck himself live on TV. At least do something. Like, what's he doing? Next game. Tom, you got anything to add about Geelong?
No, I've had my piece, I think.
Next game. One of my favorite players in the AFL, who I have loved in the past. But he's been back. He's been cheeky the last couple of weeks because he's kicked 11 fucking goals in 2 games.
Is that Jake the Snake Waterman?
Yeah, it sure is.
Boys, while watching our game, Sean, I was watching the Fox Footy coverage. I don't know if you're watching it on 7 or not, Sean. But in the corner of Fox Footy coverage, they'll put the other game on.
Yep.
And I looked down at one point, I'm like, oh, fuck, 7-1. That's all right. West Coast got the first goal. Then was engrossed in my game. So I didn't really check in. And then when I did, it was like 52-7.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? What happened to Freo? What the fuck happened to Freo?
Well, here's the thing. Here's a stat for you. If you score 70 points against Freo, you win.
Yeah, they have a good back line normally.
But yeah, that was crazy. Like, they've had two close losses and people are like, they're better than those losses. Are they, though?
I honestly think Freo is shit. They're a good back line. Their midfield should be good. Their forward line sucks.
They just got annihilated by a team that is...
West Coast are up and about. Like, I'm annoyed for not believing and tipping in this. West Coast got a huge surge of confidence last week.
And they're powered
by the most exciting young player in the history of the game.
Harley fucking Reid.
I think, who's the past player who said that he's already a top 5, top 10 player in the entire league?
Dan
Hannabry said that.
Classic.
Yeah.
That's
big.
No, but hear me out.
That's Stephen A. Smith's area.
Do you remember? Jesus.
That's young Kane Corns in the media area.
Do you remember that moment in when they show the highlights of Judd's debut?
Yeah.
And he hits that pack at full speed, breaks out of it, runs to 50 and kicks the goal?
Yeah.
Did you see that passage of play on the weekend where Harley Reid lays a huge fucking tackle in the middle, steals the ball, is on the ground, and then in one step he's up at full speed and bombs it into like forward 50? And you're like, holy fucking shit.
I'll go one better on Hannabry. He's already the best player in the game.
What?
No, he's fucking awesome. He's so good what he's doing for that team.
It's also...
And he loves it. He loves it too.
See the thing with Fife?
Yes, the bump.
Yeah, oh, you got to watch this. So Fife goes at him. They're like sort of wrestling. Both chasing the ball, wrestling sort of near the ball.
Yeah.
Fife goes at him real hard and Harley Reid puts him on his ass.
Just goes, hey, old man,
and Fife's
sit
like,
down.
Fife hits the ground kind of like, you know those old like stick, what are those stick games used to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, the stick man. Stick where he's just like, basically just his limbs look fucked.
He goes full ragdoll.
Like he's ragdoll dead on the ground. Like a de-inflated fucking
wacky wavy man. He hits the ground, and I think Fife hits the ground and goes, "Oh wow, that's the future."
Fife went, "I should retire immediately.
Yeah. I've just been killed by the future."
I'd love it if Fife called a press conference mid game and went, "That's it for me."
Do you know what I would love?
Got his helicopter and went surfing.
Sean, do you know what I would love? And this is one of the things that's missing in the AFL is in the NBA. Players, when someone does something fucked on an opponent, that player, particularly if it's Shaquille O'Neal, will come out and give that player a nickname. I hope that Nat Fife comes out this week and retires and like, I'm retiring because Harley Reid is the future. And from that point on, Harley Reid gets called the future.
Oh, that's good. Future's not a bad nickname.
Yeah, the future's
a good nickname.
Yeah. Well, because one thing about Harley Reid, and I think we spoke about this last week, because Perth is such a big AFL state.
Yeah.
West Coast have been shit for so long now. But by so long, as in West Coast,
3 years or so,
won a flag. But then, like, I mean, they bottomed out in a way that we have almost never seen before.
Yeah,
they don't need a priority pick. I'll tell you that much.
Well, they're 2-4. They're the same as Brisbane now.
Yeah, they're better than Brisbane.
Well, they're playing Essendon in 2 weeks, and I am shitting my pants. Yeah. Essendon are playing West Coast at Optus Stadium.
Who have West Coast got this week?
I think.
A reality check.
I'm pretty sure it's a reality check as well.
I think Brass got suspended as well.
It's Gold Coast.
Where?
It'll be over there.
Yeah. It's a bit of a fortress up there.
They should have a fucking red hot crack though.
I think they will.
They are inspired.
Hopefully they're gassed so that when Essendon go to Perth, everything's all chill.
Yeah. Have a little 3-game streak and then just calm down for the Bombers.
Then they've got Collingwood at Marvel for some fucked reason.
I would love it so much if they went there and won that game.
Imagine, so Dom Shade's back from injury. Did he play on the weekend? I don't think he did.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine if he just, his first game for the year, plays one game.
Kicks at one stadium. Goal.
Kicks
in one goal. Last minute.
1 minute to go.
When's West Coast coming to Melbourne? Is it that game? Is that the first
game? Yeah, I think so.
Might have to go to that. I got to see Harley Reid in person.
Yeah, in his first year. Oh. You want to see future three-time Brownlow medalist in the flash.
I want to see the future, Sean.
I want to see the future too. Tom. I want to tell people Shaq that I was there when the future came to town.
Shaq would absolutely call that man the future.
He probably would.
Do you know what's one of my favorite, just on Shaq and basketball? One of my favorite things to do is if you go to NBA players and like you look up the best nicknames in the NBA, so many of them, like, they'll explain the origins, and so Shaq. Many of them are like, Shaquille O'Neal said this. My favorite one is Charles Barkley has heaps and they all seem mean. Mm. Like, they all seem like they're bullying him.
Yeah.
Like having a big head or being fat. That's what all of them are.
Yep.
His nickname on the show that he is on with Shaquille O'Neal is Chunk.
Is that call him Chunk?
Yeah. Well, sorry. His name. Some just call him Chuck because Charles Chuck.
Yeah.
Shaq sometimes just doesn't call him Chuck but calls him Chunk.
Shaq's allowed to do it, mate, because he's got rings and Charles does.
Now, Jake Waterman. He's now third in the Coleman.
Jake Waterman. Bring back Alec.
West Coast. Pick up Alec. Play both Watermans.
Waterman's also got a fucked haircut, and I respect it.
Yeah, me too. All right, next game. Sydney just...
Got it done. Hey, guys. Newsflash. Out of the shit teams, Sydney might be one of the least shit.
Who'd they play?
Gold Coast.
Makes sense.
Brody Grundy scored 142 fantasy points.
I did see that. Kept the faith.
So did
me
I.
Me too. We all did.
Flanders, 126. I brought him in this week.
Oh, hey, good coaching. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yep.
There's not a lot to talk about with this game. Like...
Sydney won.
Cool. Who was the next game?
They absolutely killed Gold Coast in the third quarter.
Next game.
Now, I found out a statistic.
Yep.
That the worst ever team in the AFL.
Yep.
Is a team from, it was roughly from halfway through the season in 1928 to the start of 1931. Worst performing team in VFL, AFL history, post 1900s, just because there was a couple of teams prior to that that
records
weren't even really a team.
Yep. You got to start the line somewhere.
Yeah. And so if...
Statistically worst, this is the worst team statistically.
This is the worst team statistically?
Yep.
If North Melbourne currently lose their next 10, they are the worst team in VFL, AFL history. And the team that they will be... knocking out of that top position is North Melbourne.
I've got to say,
how are they still alive?
This was again. I watched them up close the other week.
Clarko needs to go.
They do not know what they don't look like they're going to fucking win a game ever again.
They just don't have a back line, do they?
No,
they don't have a.
They don't have really any support.
They went to the draft
forward line. They just keep stacking midfielders.
Yep.
I know that pain. But then, do you know what happened? We stacked midfielders and then we took North Melbourne's backline.
They should have never let Mackay leave.
No, they needed.
Last year, they didn't give a fuck.
Or if they let Mackay leave, they needed to make sure they were going to either poach or recruit a key position player.
They didn't even offer him a contract last year.
No,
they were resigned to the fact that he was going to leave because they got super horny at the prospect of like an early draft pick as compensation.
Yeah.
Which, and I get you take the idea of take the best pick available to you. Yeah, do that. Take one gun midfielder and then use your other pick to recruit like an intercepting defender.
North Melbourne
or another
almost-
key forward.
North Melbourne are almost at the point, and I guess this is sort of what they tried to do last year, and they've fucked it. But they kind of need to do what like new clubs did and like bring in a couple of like draft picks won't help them at this point.
No, they need. So basically the difference with West Coast at the moment is you've got players in form like Yo and McGovern and yeah. Barras and Tim Kelly.
Even
you've
Jake got, Waterman, who's, yeah. you know.
But you've got your older senior core of experienced guys playing yeah. well, and then the kids are playing well, and things start to click a bit. North don't have. They've like, got who are the older guys?
Greenwood, who's Zerha. Like 30, like 23.
Luke McDonald. Oh, no, but
like even like who've North got who are in that 28 to sort of 32 bracket?
Luke McDonald, Liam Scheel.
Shit. You know what I mean?
How old's Simpkin?
Simpkin would be.
Simpkin, I would put in the bracket, even though he's younger. But like they're the senior core.
He's
that
also
needs
been
to be good.
Playing like. Garbage.
Well, he's just got no confidence anymore, I think.
Yeah, I
he's
guess like when you play shot. For a team that have been that bad for that long.
Clarko's the wrong coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yes, their list management has been abhorrent. Basically, North Melbourne were fucking idiots years ago when Brad Scott looked at their list and turned to them and said, we're going to need to rebuild.
You know who the right coach is for North?
Who?
It's Chris Fagan.
Yeah.
Fagan? Yeah. Fagan is a teaching coach.
Yep.
He's not a finishing coach. You get Chris why he's Fagan not getting in, the job done in Brisbane.
You get Chris Fagan and then you get someone else in to get them the next level.
Swap yeah. coaches.
It sounds like Stuart Jew was It sounds like Stuart Jew was a similar guy at Gold Coast. He got them all to buy in, got them all to stay. That was his goal. And now yep. they've got the polish to get him to the next level.
Yeah. Not like Clarko's a bad choice.
Also, he doesn't seem like he gives a shit. He's angry. He's fighting people.
Yeah, This is why it's why Gold Coast need to be successful too, because Dimmer can't handle that weekly scrutiny of being a shit team.
Yep.
We saw what it did to him last year. Clarko can't.
No.
Clarko can't deal with this stuff. He's used to being the messiah.
Did you see how well he handled Hawthorn falling apart?
What he's probably last years of the Hawks 3 years at least were shit. Well, not good.
Our favorite journalist pointed this out today. Mm.
Kane Corns
was like, is Clarko still a good coach?
Nope.
He's like, yeah, I understand that he achieved a lot of success, but he's like, people don't stay good at things forever.
No. Yeah.
And they were like, look at Hawthorn's last couple of seasons. Has he lost it? And Bucks was rattled, but then was like, oh, I guess, yeah, maybe.
Hawthorn Bucks is rattled. Bucks is so protective of any criticism for coaches. I mean, that's obvious because he was one.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Hawthorn, though, had to do the succession plan in order to manage Clarko out because he'd done so much for them. They couldn't just turf him.
Mm.
But he wasn't good enough. He wasn't up to it. And he doesn't have the list at North Melbourne to cover up what he wants to do. And the list management's been, North Melbourne are going to be, and I feel really fucking bad because I thought I'd put an olive branch out to Andy Savage, but North Melbourne are going to be bad for, like, unless they fix something like in the next 12 months, they're going to be like this again next year.
Yeah. And you can't just keep getting priority picks.
No.
They need senior players.
They need they've
hit the draft for how many years now? Like a long time now.
Also, yeah. Hit the draft and go for a key position.
Well, they've been rebuilding since Brad Scott left.
No. Reece Shaw had one. So Brad Scott left because they wouldn't rebuild. Reece Shaw took over.
Yeah.
COVID happened.
They were in denial about what position
they
were in.
The team absolutely fell apart.
Yeah.
And then they went, oh, we do need to rebuild. They also ruined Reece Shaw's life.
I'd forgotten the Reece Shaw year.
Yeah.
He had 1 year.
That's actually so psycho.
2020. They won their first game in 2020. They pumped GWS. It was like, fuck, Brad Scott was wrong. COVID break happened. They came back, and I think they won one more game for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
didn't Reece Shaw have – didn't he coach for two seasons?
Nope.
No, one.
One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then David Noble came in, tried to get the list up and running again. But again, they said, oh, we need to do some things. But they didn't completely go rebuild just yet. It wasn't until David Noble's like second year they went, oh, fuck, we actually do need to go full rebuild. It's like, it's too late. They topped up with
David Noble
okay
started
players.
And went on radio and said that they sort of expect to be contending within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
nah. It's just fucked.
Yeah.
It's just madness. North are in a real bad situation.
Well, yeah, they've also got to get their shit sorted quick because in a couple of years, all of those picks are going to vanish.
They changed up their game plan too this year. They went more attacking. And I think they were calling it North Ball or something like that.
But they haven't done that in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but they haven't shored up the defense. That's what Fagan did when he came to Brisbane. It was like, all right, we're conceding like ridiculous scores. We need to get the average scores against down. And then we add the flair and then we're in the entertainment business.
Who else was the team that were famously shit and then brought in a coach who was like, we need to fix the defense. We're not going to win any games, but we're not going to blow out scores. Oh, Paul Ruse. And then once he did that, he handed the reins over to Simon Goodwin and Melbourne won a fucking flag.
Yeah.
That's the blueprint.
You need to fix... they have put no value on their back line.
Yeah.
And it's insane. Like, they knew for a whole year, basically, we're getting rid of Ben McKay.
Yeah.
And they did nothing. Like, they didn't chase Asava. They didn't chase anybody. Yeah. They needed to poach somebody.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
There are also a lot of, like, they could have
they
had a
crack.
They
should not use
so
their, whatever their first draft pick is this year, they need to split it and make it into a back line somehow. Even use the first pick and grab the bet. Like, they should, oh, fuck.
Well, they'll take pick number one because they'll be shitty that they missed out on Reed.
But that's the other thing
too. They'll be terrified. They'll be so petrified to miss out on a gun.
Do you remember when they did that? They're like, "We'll win the last game because it means something." It's like, well, now you've missed out on a generational talent.
I'm still. Their problem isn't that they won that game. I think that winning that game was good for the club. Yeah, you've missed out on Harley Reid, but Harley Reid
they got two players instead.
Yeah, and also Harley
didn't pick a key defender.
It's just
there were key defenders available.
Who was pick 2 and 3 last?
I think it was Dersmer and
McKercher.
See, the only problem there is those guys haven't turned it on as much as Harley Reid.
Yeah.
Also, Harley Reid, like the big factor with Harley Reid too, is not just that he's a gun player and he's doing exciting things. It's the massive
the club
crowd
and
over there.
Yeah, exactly.
They have the money, they have the support, they have packed out stadiums.
Reid would be
North
a worse player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reid would be shit. No, sorry. Reid would not be shit, but Reid wouldn't be doing what he's doing and having that impact.
I fucking need to
North.
Call up SEN tomorrow.
I'm going to do some research real quick. Mm. You guys move on to the next topic.
Well, it's actually, Tom, it's time for the emails.
Time for the emails. Right, I'm going to do some research while you do the emails.
That's all right. Well, while you do that, I'll just quickly read out two emails, Tom, that you're not going to want to hear. Subject, and this is from Mateus. Tom makes me sick. Dear Joel, Sean, and the abhorrent Tom, listening to Tom during fantasy chat TM, and it makes me want to vomit. When I started fantasy in the first year that Hagrid's footy ran a league, I was absolute dog shit. So much that I feared I wouldn't be allowed back next year. I've spent hours studying, reading strategy guides, agonizing over my weekly trades, driving my wife insane with fantasy talk. I've had to set aside time during vacations, some international, to make sure that my team is ready to go. I clawed my way from the dirt to the top of the weapons league. As of writing this, I haven't phased red leg yet, and my percentage is only okay. Meanwhile, Tom gets to sit there every week shitting the bed with no consequences. It sickens me to my core. Bring in relegation for the hosts. Evict him from any league that he doesn't make finals from and hold him accountable. Joel and Sean, thank you so much for your insights every week. Tom, pull your head in. Yours in footy, Mateus.
Legend. Great email.
Thanks, Mateus.
Tom was scrolling on his phone throughout the whole thing.
I was doing research, and I prefaced that. I also heard I understand his frustration and
fury.
When
you heard that you were being addressed, you should have put your phone down out of respect.
No, Joel said you won't want to listen to this email, but I still did, and I will say this.
We got a couple of emails real quick. Hang on.
Before I will say this.
Tom, before you say what you need to say, there is another email, and then you can rebut.
Is it about me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm grouping these two emails together for a reason.
No, Sean, I'm going to give this my full attention.
This is from Chris, and Chris has split the email into two, but because we've got so many emails, Chris, me and Sean have read your full email, but we're only going to read the first half out. Subject, Ryan Burton? Tom, I'm listening to you try to defend your bench selection and losing my mind. Sweet was not listed for week one. Curtin was not listed for week one. So you shouldn't have needed to fix other things first. You shouldn't have to fix these at all. Also, you fixed Bont and Dacos. Meanwhile, Ryan Burton and Alex Sexton are sitting in your team. I hope Sean berates you again for this Bevo-like list management. Get the rookies who are rising in your team and get some cash on the field. Aggravatedly, Chris.
Chris and who was the first email from? Mateus?
Yep.
Chris and Mateus, just and all listeners listening, if I'm such a shit coach, why did I win in the weapons this week?
Who'd you beat?
I believe
me?
I believe I beat you.
I had a bad week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bad footy week on all grounds. It does annoy me that I beat Tom but then lost to him based on the bye.
We call that doing a Tracy. It's what Tracy did to the Snake Man.
I outscored both of you by a pretty surprising amount.
Yeah.
You're a good coach. You should beat me every week.
I should beat you every week.
I
fucking
did the same
a dog
thing.
That has picked up someone's phone off the floor should beat you at fantasy every week.
I approach fantasy with sometimes the same intent that I approach tipping, and honestly my entire life is that I'm hopeful for what will happen rather than using data.
It hurts that the buy round gimmick cost me a much needed weapons win against this fucking moron.
All right, hang on. Wait. Pause on fantasy talk. Just remember we're in the email section. Sorry. We're not in fantasy. Tom, thank you for your rebuttal. You did beat Sean this week. We'll get to fantasy chat after the rest of the emails. People that do not care about fantasy, keep listening and can tune out soon.
I've done some research. So there were at least three key position players that were taken in that were available in the draft when North Melbourne picked Zane Dersma at pick 4. They could have picked Daniel Curtin, who is now Adelaide, who is a defender. Connor O'Sullivan, who's a tall marking target who can play forward and back. Nate Caddy is another tall forward. He hasn't played yet, but these are key position players that they could have taken instead of Zane Dersma. Just saying.
Who hasn't quite turned it on, but they were scared, Tom, that they were going to lose Zane Dersma to Essendon because Xavier Dersma just went to Essendon.
Yeah, look, and hey, sometimes you lose premium midfielders, but you build an actual spine for your fucking team.
Premium midfielders grow on trees, I think.
That's fair.
Yeah.
A lot of teams
you can go to the draft every year and get a decent midfielder. Can you get a decent key position player? They're more valuable for a reason.
Yeah, well, I mean, Essendon struggled with
this
for years.
There is that balance, though. If you're North and you've got like picks 2 and 3, it's like, do we pick the clear best midfielders in the comp, or do we pick a defender that might be like in the top 15? Then it's tough.
It is.
But get your defenders as mature age players, like with a Sava or with someone else of that age.
Yep.
Foolish.
Next email. This is from Dan. Poached fish at the footy. Dear footy dads, I just found out that my girlfriend's grandfather once put a fish in a thermos to eat at the footy. Apparently it was garlic flavored. I had to find this out tonight, and so do you. That is fucked. Love, Dan.
It's very fucked.
Thank you for the email, though.
Just imagine sitting at the footy to some old bloke next to you pulls out a thermos, and you're like, oh, the old fella's going to have a cup of tea. And then you look back, and he's just pulling a whole herring out of the fucking...
That is fucked up.
I'm going to give it a go one day.
Fish at the footy?
Yeah.
Poached fish.
Poached fish.
Why not?
And this is the email that you flagged earlier in the show, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, just on footy food.
Yeah.
We talked maybe on last week's episode about hot dogs at the footy.
Yeah.
Couldn't get one at the MCG.
What the fuck?
In the specific food area that I went to. It was the one that has Tom's fancy HSPs.
Oh, yeah. You got to go
HSPs
up.
HSPs and a few other little bits.
You got to go up a bit higher to get the hot dog.
Yeah.
Wasn't told.
You were in the fancy
area, Sean. I did say to you, I reckon if you go up there, you'll get one.
Oh, that was after. That's after I'd already come back. Wasn't going to go again.
You're in fancy town.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Well, people think they're above hot dogs because they can eat a HSP. But I'm here to say, hot dog at the footy, that's magic.
Beat HSP every day of the week.
And I say HSP at the footy, though. Fucking juicy.
This next email, you flagged it in the show, Sean. This is from Dean. Subject, Bailey Fritch, private schoolboy. Howdy, footy friends. Just wanted to clear something up about your perception of Bailey Fritch being a private schoolboy. He went to Lilydale High School, a very public school, did a Sparky apprenticeship whilst playing for Coldstream, and got picked up by the Casey Scorpions. He tops it off by being drafted to Melbourne with the pick they received for Jack Watts, the most private schoolboy to ever play in the AFL. So really, he could not be further from being a private schoolboy. Hate him all you like, but he's doing the Outer Eastern Public School tradies proud. Hooroo gurus. Love, Dean.
Dean, I think the issue is that Bailey Fritch's vibe is the most private schoolboy energy I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Yeah, he's still a cunt.
Yeah. So.
And I stand by that.
Yeah. Dean, shut up.
No, thanks for the email, Dean.
No,
shut up, Tom. We appreciate that. That's good information. That is good to know.
Don't try to make me care about Bailey Fritch.
I don't care about him at all. I still think he's an arsehole, but it's good to know that background.
All right, I retract my shut up.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to both Charlie and Paul who have emailed this week as long-suffering West Coast fans. They are on absolute cloud nine at the moment. 2-4 looks good.
Hey, Charlie and Paul, was it?
Charlie and Paul, yeah.
To the future.
To the future.
To the future.
Can you please start that name? Like, West Coast fans, get that name going.
I'm hearing he's the future.
I'm hearing he's the future. Shaquille O'Neal called him the future.
Now, quickly, fantasy chat. Tom, congratulations.
Thank you.
Sean, commiserations.
Thanks.
Buys are done now for a couple of weeks.
How will you get a win now? You fuck.
When the buys come back around and I can make 3 psycho trades.
Fantasy's fucked. You know what's fucked? Footy.
Yeah.
Our Fortnite group chat is currently popping off.
What's happening in it?
The Weapon and the Snake Man. Keen for a drop.
Oh, man. I guess we are dropping tonight. Well, I reckon that's it. So if you want to get in touch with the podcast, send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram at howgoodsfootypod. Or if you want to listen to a different show where Sean's maybe a little bit happier, you should listen to Scaredy Boys. New episodes every Friday. And that is on Instagram at Scaredy Boys Podcast. Otherwise, find us individually on social medias. I'm at Awkward Trade.
I don't want to be found.
And I'm a Deuce Sotina. Just before we end the show, and this is part of fantasy chat, but I'd just like to congratulate Wayne Deuce on his first win of the season, where he scored big, and I'm worried that his team has finally clicked, and he might come home like Essendon usually do, like a fucking freight train. But he also might shit the bed. Dad, good luck. And to all the listeners out there, go buy some footy cards.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.